happy birthday. This is coming from Matthew.
CIUT 89.5 FM sends out our thanks to all of our generous membership drive donors. If you get your pledges paid by May 29th, you'll be entered into our draws to win one of our grand prizes. We've got a Norco Scorcher bike courtesy of Bikes on Wheels. We've got a one-year membership to Heart House Athletics and a fantastic arts and culture prize pack filled with all kinds of goodies, including dinner for two at Southern Accent, a pair of tickets to see Pink Martini at Massey Hall, VIP passes to the Fringe Festival, a stay at the Madison Boutique Hotel, and VIP passes to the Bloor Cinema. Don't delay. Pay by May 29th for your chance to win. For more info, go to www.ciut.fm.
This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the University of Toronto Community Radio Station. Available across Canada on Star Choice National Satellite Service, Channel 826, and broadcasting worldwide at www.ciut.fm.
Take five.
Hi, I'm David Peterson, inviting you to tune in to Take 5, CIUT 89.5's weekday news, current events, and live music program. Every weekday morning from 8 to 10 a.m., we feature 2 hours of hard-hitting special features with experts and newsmakers from around the world, live music performances by acclaimed local and international artists, and up-to-the-minute traffic reports. Take 5 delivers what you won't get from any other news or music outlet across the GTA. So please, join me every weekday morning for Take 5, 8 to 10 a.m. Only on CIUT 89.5 FM.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Welcome to Evidence here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Elizabeth Dawn Snell, and with me,
Kate Vankervis.
And we're here to speak to dancers and choreographers. Later on in the show, we'll be talking to Brandy Leary, choreographer and artistic director of Anandam, with a show coming up with the DanceWorks Co-Works series, as well as Kate Hilliard, also doing a show called Beside Me, with the DanceWorks Co-Works. But first, we have in the studio Heidi Strauss to talk about her upcoming show called As It Is. And right? Yes. Mm-hmm. And we also have Jeremy Mimna in the studio with us as well. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And maybe we can start out with a little bit of background to let our listeners know, Heidi, where you come from and what you do.
I'm a Toronto-based dancer and choreographer. I've been working in Toronto for the past probably 15 years. And I've recently, like in the last year, been artist in residence at the Factory Theatre, which is a relatively new initiative on their part. They haven't had any, so far, any kind of a dance voice within the theatre itself. It's a theatre that produces Canadian-based plays or plays by Canadian playwrights. And so it's a very interesting and, for me, I guess, timely situation, because it came at a point where I was really interested in playing with the perspective of what it is to be close to an audience. And so Jeremy, who's with us today, he's the collaborator that I work with probably closest in a lot of the work that I've done, and he's, for this, playing with sound, and a lot of the work deals with what's inside, what's internal and what's external. And in this way, we're also able to play with sound in that way. The piece is about a couple and relationships in general, about how we're affected by one another, about how in life a lot of things happen and you don't really realize they're happening until something changes or something new appears or disappears. And so the piece kind of revolves around that and plays really closely with an interaction with the audience, but not in like audience participation. Don't be worried.
Do you feel that being an artist, dance artist in residency at the Factory Theatre has affected or inspired your work as a dance artist, since you're the first dance artist in this residency? I'm just wondering how that plays into your work.
Because it's a new role that they're establishing, and it's going to continue actually into next year, so I think the responsibilities and integration of that role will be developed as time goes on. But in this instance, it was really, what was really incredible about having the residency was that I had access to a space that became central to the piece and essentially became the set for the piece. And to be able to work in a situation where you're informed by all the activity that's going around you kind of relates to what the piece is about in a way, that you're affected by these things that happen on the outskirts of what you're doing. Like, because we're working in a very enclosed environment, but there'll be a lot of rehearsals going on that we can definitely hear in a way. In a dance studio, you just hear music, but you hear a lot of voices, a lot of screaming, a lot of singing, a lot of energies kind of meeting in one place. So it's been very interesting. And definitely there's something really interesting in working also in a context that's outside of what your own community is. So for the most part, the projects I've done have been all within the dance community. And so this is a really interesting way of looking at how does dance really speak, not only to our own community, but to like a much greater population. I mean, I think everybody thinks of that, but but I think that like in a sense, to be in a place where dance isn't the primary form has me looking at things a little differently.
Cool. And Jeremy, your involvement, maybe actually a little bit about your background. Who are you?
Okay.
Who are you?
I'm actually a photographer. I do a fair bit of music for dance, but I approach it more as a watcher of dance than necessarily a musician, because I don't play any instruments. So for this work, I think it was when we started creating it, it was much. It was very important to get an idea what the room was. So we spent a lot of time in the room recording the squeaky floors and, as Heidi said, some of the sound that escaped from the theater next door. It's the opera singer singing. And so we gathered a lot of that sort of ambient noise from Adelaide and Bathurst, and collected all of those sounds to try and create a score that would work with the choreography that we were working on. So that my participation in this really is about, I think, gathering that real world feel and bringing it into the room.
And he plays the sound live, so each time it's different, and because some of the sound that's happening in the space is actually happening outside the space, there's an aspect of what's going on outside and beyond the space actually being amplified within the piece
that
we're
performing. Not to give
anything
away.
That's cool. Well, it's like a really good preview.
And you might not notice at first.
And Jeremy, you're known for video design for dance.
Yeah, I do a fair bit of that as well.
Is there any of that in the show?
Not to give anything away. There are definitely some surprises. There wasn't for the longest time. It was we conceived in the beginning that there definitely would be because that's I do that. So we had that on the ready to go.
And we had a lot of ideas that, like, a lot of the piece has been about stripping things away, like cutting things back and kind of getting to something that's not simple, but not as cluttered as as I have a tendency to be, in my mind anyway.
Minimalistic?
Pardon me?
Minimalistic?
I don't think it's necessarily minimalistic, but I think there's a kind of, I think one of the things that I've tried to work on with it is to clarify and to be as direct or as focused in where the attention goes as possible within the relationships between the characters, especially, and the relationship that the characters have with the audience.
Mm-hmm. So you're using the rehearsal hall. Mm-hmm. How will that space transform into a performance space?
It will transform, I think, through those relationships that I was just describing, through the quality of communication that happens. I think there's something really interesting in what exists between people when they're in a performance situation, and a kind of heightened sense of communication. And especially interesting to me is when it happens without words, when there's something really specific going on that you can understand, but it doesn't have, like, oh, and they just came back from this place and they're going to that place. But I think that quality of communication, and that quality of communication in an environment that doesn't have extra production elements, but where the audience is sitting as just, like, across the table from you, or not even across the table, just beside you or in front of you, with you in the same room, and there's within this space there's already a sense of it being a bit like a home. So it's like you're walking into a room that belongs to the people who are going to be performing, but it also belongs to the people who are walking in there to sit.
Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people too, it will be an first time being in that room. Mm-hmm. And I think I always find that really an exciting thing, to be walking into a place that you've never seen before, so a lot of the elements that exist will be new.
It's a whole new experience, yeah, rather than seeing a show in a theater that you go to see many shows in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it'll be very intimate, and I was reading some description of the rehearsal halls, sheer curtains, tattered walls, kind of makes me think of, like, walking into a well-lived-in kitchen kind of thing.
Yeah, a place with history.
Yeah.
And I think your expectation of performance and show will be different, mm-hmm, because of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing I'm very attracted to as a dancer is the opportunity to go into a studio and watch people working and watch what happens while they're learning about each other and while they're actually in the piece, and the piece is taking them on a trip. Mm-hmm. And when you're sitting in a rehearsal studio, you're very close to the performers in that kind of a way, and you get to witness what's happening without the kind of separation that you have when you walk into a theater and there's a curtain and there's, mm-hmm, all of those other elements.
And the dancers really, they, in our rehearsals as we've been running it, they're not shying away from the audience. They're really... There really isn't a divide between where the audience is.
I was going to ask about the dancers.
Yeah.
Who are the dancers?
The dancers are amazing, and the work is really has all hinged on all of their contributions as well and their propositions. And we've had a few, we've had about three processes, and in the course of that time, there's been a number of dancers who've come in and out just because of scheduling issues. And I think all of their voices are part of what the piece has become, kind of the same way that the room has its own history, that the piece and all the sections of it and what it has become, the whole of it, it's all created with the levels of the people who have contributed. So Christy Kennedy is performing, and Robert Abubo. And within the process, Brendan Wyatt also participated, and Penny Shivas. And I feel very much that the piece has all of us in it. I'm performing as well.
And how would you describe the movement quality, or the movement, or a section, or anything you want to tell us about?
Well, I think one of the things, like I talked about in terms of how you're affected by one another, one of the things is that there's a lot of synchronicity between in the movement, but not necessarily synchronicity in the idea of unity or movement. I would say there's like one moment of unison in the piece, mm-hmm. And it's only between two people. And because I think, like, to me in life, one of the things is that we all will do things at the same time, but we do them in our own ways. And part of this is actually an exploration of the person and individuality. So the movement, I think at times is very physical and really uses the space and is surprising, and at other times is very personal and very pedestrian, but pedestrian not in like walking down the street, more like walking in your house kind of. So it's
personal pedestrian.
We're coining a new term. Good morning.
It's okay, we can do that on Sunday morning.
Yeah, so I think movement-wise, that's kind of the direction. Yeah.
And now the rehearsal hall only seats 40, is that right?
30.
30? Mm-hmm. So it's really important that people make sure you get your tickets, mm-hmm. and come and see the show. And now your website, I just wanted to mention your company and your website, Adelheide, mm-hmm. right? That's Adelheid mm-hmm. .ca. So they can go on your website to find information and... Mm-hmm. And so on. And
it's an early show, too. It's a 7 yes. o'clock show. It's part of the festival, the Factories Festival. So
they mm-hmm. have a festival called Performance Spring, and there's a number of works on that, including their headliner is Fear of Flight, which is a really wonderful piece by a company called Artistic Fraud of Newfoundland. Nice. And that's also very worth seeing.
Great. And so we have, as it is, running... in the Factory Theatre, in the rehearsal hall, running from May 13th to the 17th and the 19th to the 24th at 7 p.m. That's 125 Bathurst. And you can find information at www.adelheid.ca or www.factorytheatre.com.
And you can purchase tickets online at on the Factory website.
Oh, great. That's
There's a little convenient. Red circular button that says, purchase here.
Excellent.
And Sunday show is pay what you can?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very nice.
And there are advanced ticket sales for that Sunday, but you pay a discounted rate, but just so that there can still be people to show up at the door to get tickets.
Great. Yeah, well, it sounds like a very intimate and raw experience of dance mm-hmm. and multimedia. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll be up next to talk to Kate Hilliard about her show coming up, Beside Me, with the DanceWorks Co-Works, May 13th to the 16th at 8 p.m. here on CIUT 89.5 FM.
CIUT can now be heard on channel 946 through Rogers Digital Cable.
Do you like what you're hearing and want more of it? Check out our schedule at CIUT.FM. We have over 80 unique programs we're sure you'll love. We're listener-supported CIUT 89.5 FM.
Came to town to sleep in Welcome back to Evidence. So next we have Kate Hilliard and her show Beside Me, which is a DanceWorks Co-Works presentation. So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So maybe you can start with your background, where you're from. And
sure. I went to the Quinte Ballet School. I moved away from home when I was 12, graduated when I was 18, and then sort of rethought my my feelings about classical dance and decided that I needed to take a little bit of a break. I was severely injured, and so I traveled with my husband through Europe, and it was while I was over in Europe that I decided that contemporary dance was of interest to me. So I came back and I went to the program at the School of Dance, the professional modern training program, and so that's my education. And then after that, worked with Paul-André Fortier in Montreal, did some work with the lab, the group dance lab in Ottawa, and now I work for Dance Makers under Michael Trent's artistic direction.
Mm-hmm. And we also, in his second appearance on the show,
Jeremy's a popular guy.
And he's doing video design
yeah.
for the show.
Yeah.
So the show Beside Me premieres. It's not a premiere? Is it a premiere?
Well, it's a hard question because this work has taken about 2.5 years to come to fruition. And we have performed a full-length version in Ottawa back in 97. 97. Whoops. In 2007.
It's an old piece.
No, in 2007, we performed a full-length version at Le Groupe Dance Lab. Mm-hmm. But the work has changed so much that it's a brand new thing.
Great.
And so, yeah.
Now, this piece has emotional attachment, kind of. What this piece came out of is a very, very personal.
Yeah, it was a very, it was sort of a big life-altering experience. I lost a very dear friend, and Beside Me was actually my first choreographic attempt. I had done some work with students, but I lost a dear friend and sort of found myself in a situation where I didn't really have the words to describe how I was feeling. So I found myself in the studio moving a lot because, for some reason I was able to express myself through movement and not through spoken words. And, so I decided that, it was very probable that a lot of other people had gone through a similar experience, and that's sort of where this work, how this work came to be. Yeah.
And when you were moving in the studio, in this emotional state, mm-hmm. Did you feel that your movement was, did you feel that new things were happening, that you were somehow reaching something that you hadn't found before?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The language that was, the movement language that was born out of being in that particular emotional state was something that was very new to me. I remember in the first few days of creative process, recognizing that my body was producing all sorts of movement language that I don't think I was necessarily used to making. And I probably went into the studio more because I think I was really concerned about the fact that I was becoming very angry and not able to really express how I felt about the world around me, and this piece was born out of the need to cope with some of that. And along the way, I recognized that I was making a dance piece. I certainly didn't start by saying I'm going to make a dance piece. It was really more I'm gonna explore in the studio. I need to just be moving in the studio, and from that exploration, I started creating Beside Me.
And now, you are going into schools with high schools?
We are, yeah. I danced this work with Jean-François Légaré, who's a Montreal interpreter, phenomenal man. And he and I, when we first started making this work together, we tried doing a number of workshops in the high school, more to share the work than anything. But what I discovered is that the feedback and the things that I would watch during these workshops gave me such inspiration, because the work revolves around the idea of love and loss. When you're dealing with people who are at a point in their life where they're really probably in touch with that for the first time, falling in love for the first time, having their hearts broken for the first time, they have a whole lot of really interesting things to say, and they too are able to express through movement, I think, in a different way that they would express through language. Mm-hmm. So that became a really integral part of this research, is that we would give workshops in the school board, usually about an hour and a half, and working with adolescents. Although I did just recently have an experience where I was able to work with the York University fourth year dancers, which was a whole new ball of wax, because mm-hmm. they're very sophisticated movers, and they were very generous. But it has, doing workshops with the Beside Me work has been a part of my research for about 2.5 years.
So they're all different ages, it sounds, from like high school now into university. How does that translate into where you are, and how that translates into the work?
Well, I think it's just another opportunity to learn more about my own work. As I said, it's taken about 2.5 years for this to all come to fruition. You know, Jeremy came onto the project last year, and when I first started making this piece, I always envisioned that video would be a part of the final work. But because this was my, as I said, this was sort of a first choreographic attempt, I really wasn't ready to deal with the questions, to answer the very important questions that having other collaborators on board, you know, what that would do, these very difficult questions would come up. And 2.5 years ago, I wasn't sort of ready to answer those things. Mm-hmm. So it's been a slow accumulation of people coming onto the project. I've just finished working for the past year with Paul Auclair as well from Le Groupe Dance Lab, my lighting designer. And, you know, again, bringing light into the work, there are all sorts of new questions that need to be asked. And I find one of the biggest things I found working with you, Jer, is that, you know, because it was the first time I was being asked to describe certain sections of the work, and it was through those conversations, the description of what I was trying to say, so that Jeremy could respond with video, that I learned a whole lot more about my own work. And I think the same thing working with students, you know, they have really great questions, and I'm a person that works things out while I'm talking. So yeah, every new thing is just another opportunity to learn a little bit more of the world that I've created.
Jeremy, how were you able to translate what Kate was talking about into video?
excuse me. We talked a lot about, as a collaborative group, we talked a lot about what loss is. We talked about relationships. We talked about how this specific situation that happened to Kate could be transferred to each one of us in our own lives, so that it wouldn't be a question of the audience coming in and reliving Kate's situation. It would be much more open for everyone to sort of experience. So I think, the collaborative team that she's managed to bring together is quite spectacular. A group of very sensitive artists, sensitive to each other's discipline, and I think we are all able to talk almost at cross purposes for one another's discipline. Mm-hmm. So how each one would impact and affect the other, including how the video would affect the dance, and the dance would affect the music, and the music would affect the lighting, and all of those things were it's a really considered work. So it was quite an natural evolution as far as the visual ideas. It seemed to be no other option. It had to be these elements, because I would be describing something that I was thinking while the run was happening, and Paul was thinking about the exact same color of light, and Olivier was thinking about the same kind of, like, we all sort of gravitated to the same elements in relation to one another, so that it seemed there was no other choice but the ones that we made. So,
and I'm curious about the colors and the landscape of the piece, actually. The colors, the textures of the video, the textures of the movement, that kind of thing. Maybe both of you could speak about it a bit, just to give us a sense of what people will be experiencing visually.
Well, I think it's gone through the sound is by a composer named Olivier Girouard. He's a Montreal composer, and the sound has existed. It was created in the first year that we worked, and I would describe it in the sense that it's got very warm. It can be a very warm landscape. There are elements of guitar and piano, but there are also moments in the sound where you almost feel as though you're in a cavern. It can be quite empty and quite lonely, and that's a response to the choreography, in the sense that the movement is quite pedestrian, in the sense that I always want to be clear about the fact that this is a conversation between two people, you know, and there are moments of athleticism, and there are a lot of moments of athleticism. The work moves a lot. It travels through space a lot. There's a lot of lifting. There's a lot of partnering, a lot of dancing in close proximity to one another. But it has some of the work that I've done with Heidi Strauss, who you just spoke to, who acted as my dramaturge and artistic advisor, and so did so Bonnie Kim has now taken over that role while Heidi is involved in As It Is. The work that I'm doing with these two ladies is to really strip away the form, so that we're not looking at dance seeing shapes. We're not seeing we're seeing bodies move through space with a lot of athleticism or a lot of physicality is perhaps the better word, but that those bodies are always in communication with one another. So I like to think of it just like, you know, conversations. Some conversations are soft and tender, and other conversations are more difficult. Mm. But that's sort of the way I see the movement vocabulary per se, and maybe you can talk about the video chair.
Well, I think that the video, to describe it, would be probably more cinematic type of video that I'm used to dealing with. There was something about looking back that was important for this. There's sort of a sense of history that needed to be in the space, and I think that it was also an opportunity to try and find some levity in the work, to sort of take time to sort of explore that element of this type of relationship between people. And so I think there's I would describe it that way, and there's a lot of use of scratched film, old sort of 70s film treatments, and also dealing with like saturated colors, just blank colors. That would probably be the best way to describe how the video sits in the space.
And the lighting? Yeah. The lighting, how it defines the space.
Well, Paul Eau Claire has worked a lot with the idea. I mean, from the get-go, we talked. He also did the lighting when I was in Ottawa in 2007. Mm-hmm. So he's had about 2 years to sort of see the project grow, and he's really responded to the idea that here are a couple trying to preserve the beautiful and wonderful moments that they have together, but time is of the essence, time is fleeting. And so he's responded to that in a way where there are places in the piece where the light is quite isolated, sort of like moments where this particular conversation of movement is suspended in time. And then other moments where you know, the light is open, and you really have an opportunity to see everything that's going on. You know, every touch, every look, that we're under a microscope, in the sense that, you know, nothing is hidden. So, and I mean, I think that was, he was being really sensitive to the fact that, not everybody will look at this work and think of loss per se, mm-hmm. In the way that I experienced it, but just what is it to have a very private relationship? What is it to have somebody in your life that is close and dear, and how do we interact, and hopefully there will be connection for the audience in that regard, so that it, as Jeremy said earlier, that they're not living through my experience, but we all have our own experiences with the people who are very close and dear to us. And yeah.
Mm. So we have two tickets to give away to this powerful piece on May 13th at 8 p.m. And the number to call is 946-7000. That's 416-946-7000. The piece runs, it's a part of DanceWorks Coatwork series, and it runs from May 13th to the 16th, 8 p.m., and May 16th, you have a 2 p.m.
Yes, there's a matinee.
And it's at the Dance Makers Center for Creation, and it's building 53 at the Canary Studio 313. And you can find information on danceworks.ca. But call now for your tickets to this powerful, beautiful... The way you're speaking, I can see the imagery in my head, and it's...
that's great to hear.
It's in my head.
It's even better in person.
I bet. I would like you to show me.
So up next, we have Brandy Leary with Confluence. So we'll be right back.
Thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Soon you'll walk away, then over the moon. Now you won't stay. I guess I gotta keep in mind, I know I'm never gonna leave. But can I set you free? I don't want to, but I know this much is over. So I'll see you round the corner where I know we'll meet again. It only makes sense. Don't, not right away. I know the tune. Please don't press play. I guess we're deep inside. I know this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's pure insanity. Waiting for the moment, and so cursed with our affliction, I take shelter amongst the former wounded mortals until then.
Hi, welcome back to CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Elizabeth Dawn Snell.
And I'm Kate Nankervis.
And congratulations to the person who won the two tickets to go see Beside Me.
By Kate Hilliard.
Kate Hilliard.
So now in the studio we have from Anem.
Anandam.
Anandam. We have Brandy Leary, Amy Hampton, and...
Audrey Dwyer.
Welcome.
Morning. Thanks.
So you have a show coming up, Confluence?
Yes.
And this is also a DanceWorks co-work series event happening at the Annex Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So welcome. And maybe, Brandy, you can introduce yourself.
Absolutely. My name is Brandy, and I'm the artistic director of a company called Anandam. And... just to give you a little bit of background on where I'm coming from as a dancer and as a choreographer, it's a little bit of an eclectic mix that started with early dance classes in childhood and morphed into a theater degree in direction at York University, where I specialized in direction but also Asian forms of theater, because I was very, very interested in modes of performance that acknowledged storytelling and dance and puppetry and just interdisciplinary work that wasn't sort of regimented as like smaller boxes that our program was sort of addressing. And out of that, I did my last year's work in Indian dance because it is a storytelling-based mode of performance. So enough studying, and I took off to India, which turned into about a decade of moving between Canada and India. Mm. And I started to study a dance form that is called chow, on this like crazy kind of mythic, can't believe it happened to me journey. I ended up studying with a pre-independent guru named Kiran Asao, who was about 80 years old, who was retired, who lived in a small village in the middle of nowhere. When I first went there, there was no electricity, no water, 52 degrees Celsius, totally insane. And he was just this, like, the last living teacher of this method. So I spent a lot of time in the village, very hot, very sweaty, learning this fantastic dance form that's actually on the decline. Chow is a martial-based dance form that comes from the eastern part of India that uses, it's mainly performed by men, so there was a bit of a, not from my teacher, but from sort of other students, there was a bit of resistance to having a female sort of drop down in the middle of nowhere. The village was called Sarekila, and it kind of existed in this, like, time warp that maybe was 70 years behind the rest of the world. It was quite strange. So I spent a long time working there in India and studying, and just bizarre things. Like, I performed for the king and queen of Sarekila.
Wow.
A private performance. It was insane and wonderful. And also, like, chow involved, like, many of the Eastern performance forms, there's, like, a whole ritual component to it. So there's, like, these crazy rituals I saw of, like, people walking on fire and eating glass and swinging off hooks. And
sounds fabulous.
Oh, yeah. That's not part of the dance. that will not be in the show, but it's part of the environment that it comes from. And then also connected with that throughout my journey of working in with chow and with martial dance forms, I also spent a lot of time in southern India studying a martial art form called Kalaripayat, which is it's pure martial arts. It's not dance, but a lot of contemporary choreographers working in India, as well as theater makers from the West. I mean, Grotowski drew a lot from Kalari, Peter Brook. So it's been a vocabulary resource for movement over the years. So that's the environment that we're working with as a company and definitely in this show.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brandy, do you know, is there anywhere in our Western culture that teaches these types of martial arts, Indian dance styles?
For Kalaripayat, we're very lucky. There's a woman named Gitanjali Kolanad, who's a choreographer, but she's also a Kalari teacher. She's in Toronto, and she runs an organization called IMPACT, which is the Indian Martial Arts and Performance Collective of Toronto. So there's access to that. But in terms of chow, I don't teach it, but if you wanted to learn something about it, I could definitely share. For sure. Yeah, no.
What an experience you've had. Whoa. And it all infiltrates into your peace conference.
It's a little different than ballet school. Hardcore
now,
in a different way.
Now, Amy and Audrey, you have now had the influences of Brandy, and your involvement in the piece. And maybe just a little bit about you first, but then there's your list. Go for it.
Well, I'm a contemporary dancer, and I studied classical ballet, so that's my background, where I come from.
This is Amy Hampton, sorry.
Yes, sorry. And I have no experience with Indian dance or Indian martial arts or aerial work, which is also in this show. So this is all very new and very exciting for me.
And I'm Audrey Dwyer, and I work as the process director and as the dramaturge. So I have background as an actor, and I spend a lot of time with texts and written scripts. So for me, what I offer is like a clear narrative and characterization to a degree, and I also serve as like an outside eye in terms of what the visual story is that we're receiving and how we can make it a bit deeper in terms of character and in terms of storytelling.
And now, have you worked together before, Audrey and Brandy?
Yeah, Brandy and I have worked for a number of years in a few different shows, and we've been talking about what we want to bring to dance and the use of like movement as vocabulary and an action in terms of like a dialogue, in terms of like the conversation that happens within dance. So we've been really challenging ourselves in terms of like pushing the way that we work forwards.
And Amy, have you worked with Brandy?
I did do one previous show with Brandy in 2006. Yeah, and it was also a great experience. So I learned a little bit of these techniques then, and I'm learning a lot more this time.
Now, maybe you can explain. There's aerial, there's different types of martial arts, there's yoga?
No? Well, I mean, there's definitely yoga influences a lot of like the way that Indian vocabulary moves.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that plays a part of it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And now, how does this all work together with a story and vocabulary and movement and colors?
Mm-hmm. Basically, originally when we started this piece, it was actually going to be a reworking of the piece that Amy was involved in a couple years ago. And it's just one of those things that happens when you sit down and start to create. I went, oh, I'm not extending a piece, I'm making a new piece. Okay, what is this about? And essentially at the heart of Confluence is looking at what is at the heart of the languages that I work with. I've been steeped within India, which is really an exploration of how does the masculine and feminine relate. There's a whole cosmology to the dance forms. But I also think it's an interesting question of how do men and women get along, right? So the whole thing is looking at different interpretations and different explorations of that relationship. And all of these movement forms that we're using are very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
We have a boy. It's the first time we have a boy in our group. His name is Sean Zerger, and he's phenomenal. He's not a dancer. He's a martial artist. He's like 6'4 and 240 pounds, and he's brilliant, and he flies through the air. And he changed our dynamics. So it's like the whole piece is looking at small snapshots of different interpretations of grace, of play, of sexuality, of sensuality, that is not sort of like men are strong and women are soft.
Mm.
It's really looking at the spaces between those. And that's what's forming the sort of idea environment of the piece. And then, because it's not interesting to dance ideas, right? Like, it's not interesting to dance the idea of time or the idea of water. But it is interesting to be water or to be the person that created time. So we've been actually working with a process that I've just been able to name this time around, which I'm calling reverse storytelling, and where Audrey's come in. Is that I work in the studio, I work a lot from inspiration and image and ideas, and then take that into the studio with my dancers, and then it shifts again on their bodies and with their input. And then when Audrey comes in to work with us, she draws the story out of all of us so that everyone has a huge input into creating the honesty and the intensity and the integrity of the show.
Do you think through this process you're starting to create a specific technique, maybe not technique, but a style that has maybe just come about through this process?
In terms of...
Because you're working with so many different styles, and I'm sure that they have a lot in common,
mm-hmm.
but they all seem very different. So how are this fusion happening?
Because I'm not looking at these styles as collage or as fusion. I'm looking at like what is the energy underneath the forms and how do they relate. So and also we're working in the world of huge, right? Not only are we working in the idea of masculine and feminine, but we've taken the world to like God level, huge life or death stakes. So when you have a world where you're working with like universal concepts or concepts of characters that have kind of a divine quality, they can fly. They can be martial warriors, So everything, I would say so far, is living in the same world. Mm-hmm. And I can say that I don't think I've seen anything like it in Toronto anyways. It's really
fascinating. So it's a very specific movement quality that you are generating mm-hmm. with your dancers and
absolutely.
The creative process.
We realize that they all have to be very careful because if something, touch wood, terrible were to happen to anyone. We wouldn't be able to call in a dancer like a week and just train for 8 hours a day. These women have been training for this show since December.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a long process.
Yeah, because there's a period of training, because we're working with a different physical vocabulary. And it's not like I'm trying to teach them Indian dance. I'm trying to see how that filters through their bodies. Mm-hmm. And then it's a bit of a process of, like, what works, what doesn't work. And then a process of learning the choreography, and then a process of coloring it and making it clear with story.
And we have two tickets to give away mm-hmm. on May 22nd at 8:30, which is at the Annex Theater at 736 Bathurst Street. So two tickets. The number to call is 416-946-7000. This sounds like a wonderful, wonderful show, a wonderful experience. I think I would call it an experience.
Mm-hmm.
This show, Confluence, is a Dance Works Co-Work series, and it runs May 20th to the 24th. All shows at 8:30 with a matinee on the 24th at 2:30.
Yes.
And you have a website. It's anandam.ca.
Yep.
And it's anandam.ca. You can also call for tickets. Yes, 416-204-1082. And I think our tickets are gone, so congratulations.
We're all clapping. Now we're clapping.
And just quickly, the dancers in your show, there's Jennifer Robichaud, mm-hmm. Marie-France Forcier, and, of course, Amy Hampton, and yourself.
And Sean Zerker.
Zerker. Is there anything else you want to just sum up, maybe tell the listeners? I think you guys explained it really, really nicely.
Well, I would say that it is definitely a piece of dance, and like you had mentioned, it's a total experience, and it's also, I think, very theatrical and passionate, emotional, and
sexy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really
it's pretty sexy.
There you go. You got it all. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys, for coming on. And also thank you to Kate Hilliard of her production, Beside Me, which runs May 13th to the 16th at 8 p.m., also with a 2 p.m. matinee, and that's at the Dance Makers Center for Creation at Studio 313. You can go to danceworks.ca for that as well, probably for Brandy's show as well. Also, thank you to Heidi Strauss and Jeremy, the ever... You know, video designer, music man. Heidi's show, As It Is, it runs May 13th to the 17th and 19th to the 24th at 7 p.m. at Factory Theater. It's in the rehearsal hall, 125 Bathurst. You can go to www.factorytheater.com. Apparently, you can press a little red button and you can buy tickets, or go to her website, adelheid.ca. And our upcoming guest next week,
Week, May 17th, we have students from the National Ballet School on their spring showcase, which runs May 20th to May 23rd at the Betty Elephant Theater. Also, we have Berlin choreographer Felix Marchand and Christopher Winkler on Toronto Dance Theatre's presentation Berlin Toronto Project, showing May 21st to the 23rd, as well as the 27th to the 30th at the Winchester Street Theatre. And last but not least, we have Marie-Hélène Falcon, who is the artistic director of Festival Transamérique Montreal, taking place May 20th to June 6th. And, yeah, that's who we have next week. Thank you, Elizabeth, for co-host, and our tech, Liza Murray.
Thanks, Liza. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Ted,
and thanks for
coming
in.
Making this show. Thank you, Kate. All right, we'll be back here on CIUT 89.5 FM next Sunday at 9. See you then. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.